Our scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Hear God's word for us this morning. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Okay, I'm going to start with a question. A question that I actually want you to answer to somebody next to you. If you had to sum up our faith in one word, what would it be? I know it's the title of the sermon, but really? Love, yes. What are some other pieces of that?
Kindness.
Patience.
Charity.
Being nice, the kid said.
Wholeness.
Beautiful word.
Hope.
Gentleness. Yeah, you could just pick any of the fruits of the Spirit, right? What else?
All encompassing.
Thankfulness.
Blessing.
Blessed. Nobody says happy from last week? We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And I want to begin by saying Jesus was asked a question like this. He was asked by the religious leaders of the day, what out of all of the commandments in the law and the prophets, and there were 613 that they had identified, out of all of those, which is the most important? And they were like, because he's going to pick one, and then we're going to be able to zing him on the others. I mean, there's 10 commandments. If you pick one of them, oh, so it's not important to not commit adultery, right? Like, they've got him. And Jesus says, okay, everything can be summed up in love, which is what y'all said. You knew, right? But think about everything we named here: kindness and blessing, wholeness, all-encompassing, right? Being nice. All of those things not only flow from our love, but are just part of it. Okay? So the scripture that we read today calls these fruits of the Spirit. And the reason love is first is because Jesus put it first. When he said 613, it comes down to love. You love God with all you are, and you love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Those are two things, but it's all about love. And when we talk about themes we see in the Bible, there are many themes, and you named them just then: kindness and wholeness and all-encompassing and peace and patience. Those are themes. All of them, though, we could trace back and say, but if we don't have love, those other things aren't going to grow as well either. It's like this golden thread that runs through the Bible. And so I want to show you a couple of the scriptures where the Bible is talking about love and how central it is. These are some of them. So we have the fruits of the Spirit, where the very first fruit is love. So love is the first thing to grow. All the other things grow out after that. Then the next scripture that we have, show that to you. There we go. 1 Corinthians 13, right? All about love. I read it at people's weddings because they want it there. And then we get to the summation of that. There's faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. You know, when the next one is one that I think I will be working on it my whole life. Jesus is talking here to his disciples, and he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Not, y'all, this is so crazy. Not the crosses we wear. Not that we come to church when it's going to rain. That's an outflow of love. Not even our good theology, that we're reading the Bible the right way. Not even that. I went to school for 4 years to get that right, right? Jesus says, actually, Pastor Laura, it's all about the quality of your love for other people. Love is the very foundation of our faith. If you distill it all down, it's about God's love for us and our love for God and other people. And so let's just start there. Before we start with loving other people and how to do that, because it's not always easy, let's talk about how God loves us. Because Jesus, as we're talking about fruits of the Spirit, we have to remember we're just the branches, right? Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you bear no fruit, right? So the way that we bear fruit isn't that we go, right, and really work on it and really crank ourselves up. It's that we stay connected to our Lord. We allow the Holy Spirit to work in us day and night. And the longer we are people of faith, the more loving we become. That is a natural product of letting the Spirit work in our lives. And if we find we're becoming more hateful or more judgmental, then we go, I think I might not be letting the Spirit work in my life the way I need to. And then we just open back up for that. And the Spirit helps us be more loving. Now that all flows from the fact that God loves us. The fact that God loves us. You and me, just as we are. Imperfect people that we are. The Bible is full of promises that God's love is all-encompassing. Never changing. And it can be so important to come here to worship and be reminded of that. To be encouraged by that. Because when we're out in the world, we are being told that love is kind of related to earning it, right? When we're really little, we earn a trophy and everyone claps for us, and then we know, oh, I did something good and that makes me more worthy of love, right? And you get into your job and it's what you produce. And maybe with your kids, you know, you're thinking, I have to be a good parent to be loved. The world says we earn love. God says love is a gift that has nothing to do with our performance, nothing to do with our righteousness, nothing to do with our behavior. The worst day of your life, when you have been the most sinful and treated other people horribly, you are still loved by God. There is nothing that can break it or ever change it. God says, talks about love throughout the Bible, and one of those words is hesed. Someday we'll get to talk even more about hesed. Old Testament Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is strong. It never lets you go. One of the scriptures is, I have pulled you with cords of love, right? You remember that? Oh, my children, I've pulled you with cords of love. Think about, you know those little kids that run around on a cord at an amusement park? You've seen those, right? The kids on a leash? Yeah? I've thought of that. I'm like, that's some smart parenting right there. Think about that as the way God loves you and me. Not that God's going to be jerking us back. We actually have infinite ability to walk wherever we're going, even bad places. But we're always connected to God. God's never going to let go and let us run away. We turn around, God is right there. I have called you with cords of loving kindness, right? Cords of love, hesed. God talks to his people, the Israelites. We've talked about how much they screwed up, right? They turn their backs on God and they abuse poor people and they live exactly the wrong way. And God always loves them. Always is ready to restore them. Always is ready to forgive them. Same with us. In the New Testament, the word is agape. Agape is that word. You might have heard it, especially if you're part of the Emmaus community. Agape is Jesus standing with his arms open and tears running down his face, looking at the people of Jerusalem and saying, you kill the prophets and you stone God's messengers, and I'm longing even then to gather you up like a mother hen and tuck you under my wing. Can you imagine being tucked in there like a little baby chick into God's side? Agape. It doesn't matter. Jesus names their sin and he says, even so, I love you. Agape is when the disciples after the resurrection, you know, Jesus has said, you're the foundation of the church, right? And what do? They're like, let's go back to fishing. I get fishing. And so they're back fishing and Jesus comes to them and finds them there. They've turned away, right? And he doesn't shake his finger at them. He cooks them breakfast. God cooks us breakfast on our worst days. Agape is the cross. It's people shouting at Jesus, save yourself. You saved others, save yourself. And he stays there because he's not saving himself, he's saving us. He loves you, he loves me, and nothing will ever change that. And when we find we're having trouble loving other people, the first thing that we can do is remind ourselves how deeply God loves us. And that it's not because we've earned it, it's not because we deserve it. We know that we're imperfect, and yet God's love fills us up to overflowing. The world says we earn love. God says love is a gift. And it's a gift that comes to you day and night throughout your life. It goes before you, it follows you, it's right beside you. And nothing you can do will ever break it off. You are loved. When we are loved that way, then we have the capacity, even in our weak and broken hearts, to love other people, okay? To love other people. And the way the scripture says it is this: we love because God first loved us. So the love that comes first is that God's love, we're undeserving, and it's still ours, and then we can offer it to other people. Now, for none of us is this easy. Okay, some people are easy to love, right? There are some easy to love people, and we wish that Jesus would say, go love the easy to love people. We'd be like, did it! Yay! Check that off the list, fruit of love. But when Jesus says, love God with all you are, and love your neighbor as yourself, somebody, and it could have been any one of us, right, said, ask him who the neighbor is, right? Because I'm sure even in your neighborhoods, you have some neighbors that are awesome. You're like, I love that neighbor, and you have some neighbors. I won't even get into what goes on my next door, but you're like, these are the troublesome neighbors, you know, the ones that are like, whose dog is, you know, it's them. So somebody says, well, which neighbors, who exactly? And Jesus tells the story of a good Samaritan, right? For us, 2,000 years later, if you say Samaritan, the word that goes with it is good, right? But in Jesus' day, talking to those first century Jewish people, this was a shock. No one had ever put the words Samaritan and good together in a sentence before, because Samaritans were the worst people Jewish people could think of. They shared a border with people in Samaria, but even if it was faster to go through Samaria, Jewish people would go around Samaria because, ugh. To call someone a Samaritan would be one of the worst insults you could say to someone at that time. So when Jesus is asked, who is our neighbor, and suddenly we have this story of a Samaritan, Jesus is effectively saying, it's everybody. And I had a professor in seminary who looked out at us pastors and said, pastors, everyone in this world has Samaritans. They vary from person to person. But we all have people who we consider to be Samaritans. They're raising their kids the wrong way. They're spending money the wrong way. They are driving the wrong way. They have the wrong morals and the wrong priority. They vote the wrong way, which means different than me. And those are the bozos that Jesus says we have to love. Those folks. The world says we earn love. In God's family, love is a gift. Our economy is different from the world. And so here in this family, the calling that God has placed on our heart is to be a faith family for all. This is rooted in the greatest commandments. Right? Faith, loving God with all we are, and then loving everyone God sends to our family. Which means, you guys, there's going to be some Samaritans sprinkled into this family for you. And you or I may be a Samaritan to somebody else. And the solution is not to pray that they leave and go be with the other Samaritans. It's to let the Spirit so work in our lives that we don't just be nice to them. We don't just tolerate them. We learn how to love them. And when we do that, our witness in the world will be more powerful than any of us can imagine. Jesus says, they will know you are Christians by your love for each other. Imagine a community where people didn't grow up in the same place, where maybe they didn't even grow up speaking the same language, they don't cheer for the same teams, they didn't go to the same schools, they don't vote the same way, they don't raise their kids the same way. Some people live here full-time, other people only part-time. Some people have homes on wheels. Some people have homes with foundations. Imagine seeing all those so different people really loving each other. That's a witness that changes the world. And that's exactly what we have here. We didn't all grow up in the same place. We don't all live here full time. We don't all cheer for the Cowboys or the Spurs. I know it's a different thing. We didn't all go to the same schools. When we go to the ballot box, we don't all vote the same way. And even though we all believe in God and we all love God, sometimes we come to different conclusions when we read the Bible. Man, we all love God. And he loves every single one of us. And he is calling us to let the Spirit so fill our lives that we find we are able to love every single one of our brothers and sisters, even the ones that are the hardest for us. They will know we are Christians by our love. The world says we earn love. God says love is a gift. And McAllen First says, we are a faith family for all. So today, as you go out, may you just soak up the unending love that God has for you. And as you are filled with that love, may it overflow in love for others, especially, my friends, especially for the Samaritans. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you. We do not deserve it. We have not earned it, but you just pour it into our lives abundantly, and we are so thankful. You tell us that when you are filling our lives, when your Spirit is in our hearts, there will be fruit. Just like staying connected to a tree, fruit trees bear fruit, but so many fruits. And so may we see those fruits of the Spirit in our lives because of your work. Especially, Lord, we pray that you would teach us, guide us, encourage us in love, in wholehearted devotion to you, and love that overflows to all people, whether we think they deserve it or not. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.